Glad he's God and he has not changed. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Success Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to and welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern. 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Well, we got a crowded bunch here. We got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have Sister Emily, just me and you, that's it.
All right, Sister Emily, how you doing tonight? Say again.
I said...
Oh, now, now, now. We don't want to do that. But anyways.
I had to be funny there, Ted.
All right. Well, before we get started into your prayer request or what have you, Em, I just want to give you an outline real quick of where we're going tonight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tonight, we are continuing our study on David, the life of David. And this will be part four tonight. And tonight is also a landmark day because Six ends his run with the song and poem. And does he get the good buzzer? Does he end with the good buzzer or the bad buzzer? He's got two in a row so far. Does he make it three in a row and make it 20 for 26, or does he make it only 19 for 26? How does he end? So we're going to find out tonight. And if he does get the bad buzzer, he may use sound effects that would affect those who have PTSD, etc. So just be aware of that just in case. And then after we're done with our study on David, we get to Ruth's Bible Prophecy. And where are you taking us, Ruth?
Going to a title called The Jew. And that's also an introductory of what I'm going to be doing after we're done with the Bible prophecy. We're going to be doing a study on the Jewish people.
Okay. So that's a pretty good, interesting topic. Who is the Jew, et cetera? Then, of course, we end our thing with our open mic session where we ask a question of the day. It's neither got a right answer or a wrong answer, but it's based strictly upon your own opinion. And then we close with a word of prayer, and then, of course, end the whole show with our Red Sylvine song. All right, so, Emily, what prayer requests or whatever do you have for us tonight?
For my old classmate, Jody Bourne, her mother passed away about 4 years ago. She's still having a hard time dealing with that, our first responders and all, nursing home and patients and personnel.
All right. So with that, now, Ruth, we're going to give you a chance real quick tonight. Did you have any other requests?
Yeah, there's several people we know or have COVID, Lila and Heidi, and there's probably quite a few more because according to Lila, it's getting worse at the nursing home. So God help us. It's getting, I think this has got to be a trial we're going through. And I think it's time for Jesus to come. So keep on looking up, Christians. And people that aren't saved, get ready because you got to go. We got to get out of here soon. I think the Lord's going to take us.
All right. Well, with that.
Hey, Kenny.
Go ahead.
With what Rue had mentioned about Lila, she was tested today. Can see if she is clear. She'll be keeping that in prayer that it does come out that she's clear.
Okay. So with that, we're going to get ready to get into our show tonight. Is everybody ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll get out your pad, your pencil, your note taker, your quick note, vocal note taker, Ruthie, get out her slate and stylus. Braille writer, whatever you may use to take your notes. And get ready to write down the scriptures tonight as we get into our study of David, Part 4. And here we go.
For those of you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing about David and his friends has it ever taught you anything from it? What one thing about David and his friends has it taught you anything? Amen. But right now, we're going to get into our topic of David, and this is David Part 4. And our first scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 to 24. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 24. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan shewed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. The evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. When Saul sent messengers to take David, he said, He is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, He said unto thee, Let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he said he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. It was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is in at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sichuh. And he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets?
Oh, boy. There's lots of good meat here. We find, of course, David being once again pursued by Saul. We find David's escape with his wife pulling a little sneak trick to preserve David's life, and much more. So let us get through it tonight as we study in each little section to find out what God has for us tonight. And our first context is found in 1 Samuel 19, verses 1 to 3, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee.
Well, the first thing we find is Saul. He's after David, for sure. And he's dirty enough, but, oh, he's going to get even all the rest of his servants to help him. We're going to kill David. But Jonathan, he asks his father, now what's he done to you? And then he tells David to go hide himself. And I'm going to go talk to my father, and what he says, I'll bring you back a report, pretty much. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 19, verses 4 to 7, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee, Lord, very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore, then, wilt thou sin against innocent blood? To slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan shewed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past.
And here we find Jonathan speaking, of course, to Saul, and he reminds Saul of what? That David did. Obvious. He reminds Saul of the battle that he had with Goliath, where, hey, basically, I'm going to put it in simple terms for everybody. Hey, Saul, you being the king, but you weren't big and bad enough to go out there and fight Goliath. But David did. He risked his life. He went out there only with a slingshot and a stone, and he took on Goliath and won. And since he risked his life for you, why are you going after him to kill him when he didn't do a thing to you? That's not even being fair, Saul. That ain't being fair, Father, is what he was saying. And so Saul saw the truth of it, and he says, okay, I ain't going to kill him. So Jonathan calls David, tells him everything going on, and brings him back before Saul, and he goes, as he did before time, and is before the king. Amen. Okay, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 19, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 8 through 13. 1 Samuel 19,
verses 8-13. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul thought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers into David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "Thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair with his bolster and covered it with a cloth.
All right, now we find a couple things happening here. First, another battle comes up with the Philistines. David goes out, fights, comes back, and then he goes in to play before Saul, and Saul has this evil spirit come back upon him. Okay? We have to understand, this evil spirit doesn't always stay on Saul. It goes and it comes. It goes and it comes. While the evil spirit is back on Saul, David is playing. He's got a javelin in his hand, throws it at David, tries to kill David, and David escapes. And then Saul, still in the evil spirit's clutches, decides he wants to get David while he's at home asleep. And so he gets the word out somehow to David's wife, Michal, and she finds out and she helps her husband escape and puts an image in the bed to make it look like David's asleep in bed. And after our break, we're going to find out exactly what happened with this image that Michal put in the bed to make it look like David was asleep in bed. But right now, we're going to get ready to do a recap of at least this half of the show. But just before we do, I want to remind you that after the recap, Six is going to take, for the last time, for the song and poem. He is 19 for 25, two good buzzers in a row, 19 for 25, and two good buzzers in a row. Will he end his run by making it 20 for 26 and three good buzzers in a row? Or will it be 19 for 26 and end it, bad buzzer, to end it off? Which way will it go today for his last song with the song and poem? We'll find out right after this recap, which our scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 to 13, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 13. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in the secret place, and hide thyself. Thou wilt go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee." And Jonathan spake good of David and Saul his father, and said unto him, "Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause?" And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, "As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." Jonathan called David, and Jonathan shewed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence and in times past. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter. And they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall, with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So it's actually Michal, I'm sorry, let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth.
And as we've seen so far in this chapter, Saul is after soldier boy, David, and he wants to kill him. But Jonathan is out to try to save David's life and even told Saul, look, he's done a lot of good for you. Why are you trying to go after innocent blood? Amen. And even Michal, David's wife, is on David's side when she pulls a dirty little trick, which we're going to find out what happened after our break. But right now, it's that time to turn the mic over to Brother Six for our last time with him and see if he could get the common message in this song and in this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the foe. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostle's message still applies today. For there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word in me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary. So his word I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. So I won't compromise. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't
head home because it's cold, and some because it's hot, and some because they're getting old, and some because they're not. Some stay at home to entertain, and some to cook the dinner, and some because they're good enough, and some because they're sinners. Some stay at home because their hat, the milliner's not finished, and some because their liking for the minister has diminished. Some stay at home because their clothes are looking old and shabby, and some because their special type of piety is flabby. Some stay at home because they have a farm and lots of stock, and therefore cannot spare the time to gather with God's flock. Some stay away because their beaux care nothing for the church, and some because a special friend has left them in the lurch. And some declare they don't enjoy the singing of the choir, and others because their fellow saint aroused their wrathful ire. Some stay away because they've long in single harness tarried, and some because, as they protest, they're settled down and married. Some keep from church because they find the members cold and funny, who never clasp them by the hand unless they're after money. And some bewail with pious face the worldliness and sin that find lodgment in the church, so never enter in. Alas, alas, excuses grow to drive our thoughts from God and turn us from the house of prayer, the place our Savior trod.
All right, six, for this last round, can you tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem?
And I believe so. So the song said, don't compromise on God. So God doesn't compromise on you. He doesn't give up on you. He's there when you need him, no matter day, night, whatever you need, he's there for you. So all he asks is for you to acknowledge him and to assemble. And you don't worry about the other congregation in there because it's your salvation that must make it to heaven. And so basically quit ignoring God because he doesn't ignore you on earth. And if you don't assemble and go to church, you might not get to heaven. You may get to heaven, but you won't get in. So that's what I believe. Stop selling God short, because he doesn't sell you short.
Well, and six, you have made yourself 20 for 26. You are absolutely 100% correct. Do not compromise on God, because he don't compromise for you. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Way to finish in happy 2022 from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Woo! My bad dad.
For sure, for sure. And now, Pastor Bonnet, see if you could do better than six. And now it is that time to hear about the great programming found only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and Little Station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum. And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And we're back. Hallelujah. And I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing about David and his friends did it teach you anything for yourself, basically? What one thing about David and his friends did it teach you anything? Amen. But right now, we're going to get back into our topic of David. This is David Part 4, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 19, verses 14 to 18. 1 Samuel 19, verses 14 to 18. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him." And when the messengers were coming, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he has escaped?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said unto me, Let me go. Why should I kill thee?" So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he said, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth.
And how you like that sneaky little trick? When they came, they found the image in the bed. And Saul says, "Why'd you trick me? Boo-hoo." And she says, "Well, David told me. Hey, I got to go. I got to leave. Unless you want me to kill you." She made it like David had threatened her life, when we know for a fact there was no such thing happened. David did not threaten her life. But he said it was her who get David out of there. And then finally, we find that where David escaped to, he went to see Samuel. He went to see Prophet Samuel and be with him. And he told Samuel everything that went down with what Saul was doing. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 19 to 24. 1 Samuel 19, verses 19 to 24. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing, pointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise, and Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Succoth. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah." And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets.
Now, we find here when David was with Samuel, Saul, what does he do? He hears of where David is, and he sends some of his servants. They end up prophesying. He sends some more. They do the same. And the third time, the same thing. Finally, Saul goes. And get this, the Lord comes upon Saul. The Lord comes
upon Saul for this brief period, and he prophesies. And so what they say is, they're asking a question of curiosity here. Is Saul amongst the prophets? Why? Because they've heard, obviously, of the things that he's been doing toward David and how he has been vicious and that kind of thing. And they're curious. Because this looks out of character for Saul. But the reason it's out of character is because at this point, right now, God is upon Saul as it was with his three sets of servants that were sent, and they prophesied, and so didn't Saul. Amen. All right, now we're going to recap the second half of this message, second half of this show, with the scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel 19, 14 to 24. 1 Samuel 19, 14 to 24. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were coming in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he's unto thee, let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. It was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. As told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Tekoa. And he said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went, so they chose Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went in and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets?
And here we find, of course, in this half, the what Saul thought to be the trickery of Michal. And he goes, well, why did you trick me? Boo-hoo. And she said, hey, claimed it was because David threatened her life, which was not true. Then we find, of course, Saul finding David had escaped to where Samuel was, sending his servants, and they all prophesying, and Saul shows up, and yes, the Lord fell upon him for a brief time, and yes, he prophesied too, which made everybody curious why he was doing it. Well, that's because God briefly fell upon Saul and made him prophesy as well. Amen. And now we're going to recap the whole show by going one more time through the whole chapter, 1 Samuel 19, verses 1 to 24, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 24. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan's son delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in this secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king shame against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan shewed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. And there was war against, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, that's David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed, with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is in at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Succoth. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets?
And as we've noticed throughout this chapter, it's basically Saul after David, trying to kill him. David escaping and getting out away from Saul. And then at the end, the issue of Saul going where David was with Samuel and ending up prophesying because the Lord came upon him for that short period of time. Amen. But right now, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing about David and his friends, you, anything. What one thing about David and his friends did it teach you anything? Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and
a few other messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Is U-Haul open?
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of the day when the beast should walk among us and many should fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. The end times are upon us, and a fact there is no time. when that famous star comes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound. As quick as lightning streaks from east to west across the sky, God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that famous star comes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Is entitled The Jew. The history of the biblical Jew is one of the most thrilling subjects in all the world. In this lesson, we are delving into history and biblical records of a factual account of God's dealings with people who were not a people, yet in this modern 20th century have become a miracle nation upon the earth, referred to Israel, the national home of the Jew. For the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were 196 prophecies. The major outstanding prophetic sign for the first coming of Christ was the virgin birth. 742 years before Jesus Christ was actually born in the city of Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah announced the sign, whereby everyone would be able to tell when the Savior was actually born. Now here's the scripture. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah 7:14 in your King James Version. It's not my intention in this particular lesson to deal with the entire 196 prophecies relative to the first coming of Christ, but may I say that when 195 signs, together with the virgin birth, were fulfilled, the Jewish people could have known that the babe born in the manger of Bethlehem was the Christ. The gear, or great, outstanding sign for the first coming of Christ, Jesus Christ on the earth, was the virgin birth. Regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given 257 signs in Scripture, all of which unmistakably point to the fact that Jesus Christ will come again to the earth. The one great sign relative to Christ's second coming is the return of the Jew to his homeland. of the 257 prophecies pertaining to the second coming of Christ, I would say that most of them have already been fulfilled, and including in the prophecies already fulfilled is the return of the Jew to Palestine, or another name, Israel. The Word of God tells us that God brought Adam and his wife into being in a miraculous manner. Satan had led the inhabitants of the earth before Adam astray, so the prophet Jeremiah says, "For thus has the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end." Jeremiah 4:27. First the Palestine and pre-Adamic world. So God did not make a full end, but he took a handful of clay, formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Mr. Adam became a living soul. Then we find God putting Adam to sleep, performing an operation, removing a rib, and making Mrs. Adam. Then God told Mr. and Mrs. Adam, God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Genesis 1:28. Of course, you know, God performed the first surgery there. That was precious. God's command to multiply and replenish the earth was given to Mr. and Mrs. Adam in the garden, and as the population of the earth increased, the garden's beauty and tremendous productivity was to have spread out until, at last, the whole world would have become one large, lovely, luscious Garden of Eden, populated with Adam's righteous children and their many descendants. But you very well know of that story. The woman was enticed by Satan in the form of a serpent to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When she ate of the fruit, nothing happened. But when she gave it to her husband, he ate, then the scripture says, the eyes of those both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Genesis 3:7-8. In Genesis 3, we learn that Adam sinned by disobeying God because he had violated the agreement God originally made with him. Mr. and Mrs. Adam were expelled from the garden. And about 1,650 years later, God saw there was no use trying to do anything relative to providing salvation for the world with the inhabitants from Adam, because Adam had sinned and he had died spiritually in the 24-hour day. As biblical history records, he died physically in the 1,000-year day, where Adam expired at the age of 930 years. Wouldn't it be nice if we lived that long now? Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why we don't. Explain that later. Next, we find God instructing Noah to build an ark or a boat for the saving of his household. So we find Noah, 1,650 years after Adam, building a large ocean-going vessel, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, into which he was to invite his family. God gave Noah a grace period of 120 years, Genesis 6:3, during which time Noah constructed the ark, warned the people, and invited them to come into the ark, the safe flood which was coming. As you well know, only 8 people heeded Noah's message, Mr. and Mrs. Noah, their 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their 3 wives. Everybody on the outside of the ark perished in the flood which came upon the earth in that day. When Noah and his family came out of the ark, they were the only people upon the earth. Multiplied thousands of people had lived in the earth previously from the days of Adam until Noah's day were all destroyed in the flood. God had made a good covenant with Noah, the very same one he had made with Adam. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 9:1, King James Version. It's the very same covenant God had made with Adam and Eve. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 1:28, KJV. Our present entire world population originally came from the 3 sons of Noah. This is supported by the following scripture, and the sons of Noah that went forth out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These are the 3 sons of Noah, and of them are the whole earth overspread. Genesis 9:18-19, KJV. But as you well know, the family of Noah again delved into a life of drunkenness and the sin of lewdness. After 300 years, during which time the sins of the people increased and waxed exceeding great,
God finally decided that there was no use in trying any further to carry out his purpose, that is, salvation to the whole world through the descendants of Noah. So we find him going to Abram and making a special agreement, which agreement is still in existence today. But in this particular case, God promised Abram the seed of the woman would come through him, that is, come through Abram. That is the scripture. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. We find this solemn covenant made to Abram also confirmed in the New Testament, wherein it says, now to Abram and his seed were the promises made, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:16. God made an everlasting, eternal covenant with Abraham. He must keep his unbreakable promise to Abraham, even if Abraham sins. But here is the miraculous part of this covenant. Abraham was an old man. He was too old to produce children, and furthermore, he had had any children by his present wife, Sarah, the free woman. He had children by a bondwoman, but those children won't do. Christ cannot be the descendant of a bondwoman, a slave. Christ must come from the womb of a free woman, a woman who has found particular favor in the sight of God, so God performed the miracle in order to provide salvation. Abraham was 100 years old and his wife Sarah was 90. This presented a physical impossibility for them to have children because of their advanced ages. We find that when God promised them a son would be born to their union, they just laughed out loud and exposed the spirit of doubt that was in their hearts regarding the matter. In the course of time, a son was born unto Abraham and Sarah, whom God told them to name Isaac, which means in the Hebrew tongue, laughter, as expressing one's attitude. In order to separate Abraham and his descendants, God called him out from the place wherein he dwelt and sent him away from his own people into a special land, which he gave Abraham for an everlasting possession. Also, in order that Abraham might be separated unto God, he was given, besides a new land, new laws regarding the days, food, worship, and marriage. All this was done in order to try and to test Abraham through obedience, for God had told him, this do, and thou shalt live. Also, the different laws were given to him for the purpose of separating him and his people as a chosen people, in order that Christ, the Savior of the world, the seed of the woman, would eventually come from Abraham's lineage. That's why God performed a miracle with regard to the birth of a son for Abraham. That's why God gave him the promised land. That's why God gave him special laws, making his people different from any other people at that particular time, because God wanted Abraham's people for himself. That's why the Bible says, these people have I formed for myself, they shall shew forth my praise. Isaiah 43:21 KJV. In the book of the Old Testament, read the following. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 in KJV. So Abraham, God established the eternal covenant. God brought out of the loins of a 100-year-old man a child by the free woman Sarah, and is on the way to establishing a race of peculiar people for himself. But 175 years later, Abraham died. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 103 years, or hardly 75 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. Genesis 25:7-8, KJV. After Abraham's death, God reaffirmed with Isaac the original agreement he'd made with his father. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's Isaac, and said, go not down unto Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and will make thy seed, the seed of Isaac, to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, Genesis 26, 2 through 5. Isaac was born the child of promise and was the legal heir to all of Abraham's possessions, had higher privileges than Ishmael had, who was Abraham's son by his handmaid, or the bondwoman. Abraham had displayed such courage and devotion to God down through the years that after his death, God was more than willing to make the same agreement with Isaac, which he had made with his father. But we find that Isaac did not live long enough to see God's original agreement fulfilled or carried out in his lifetime. Isaac died when he was 180 years old, and the scripture records that his two sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Now, in the scripture, the days of Isaac were 104 years. Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Genesis 35, verses 28 to 29. One would think that when Isaac died, God's agreement would stop. But do you remember when God originally made his agreement or covenant with Abraham, everlasting agreement or covenant? Please note this verse of scripture which substantiates that statement. And I, of course, that's God, will give unto thee, Abraham, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. Genesis 17 and verse 8. So the original everlasting eternal possession was part of the agreement given to Abraham in the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. As we've seen, that agreement was transferred to his legal heir, Isaac, born of the free woman, Sarah, upon Abraham's death. Naturally, at Isaac's death, the everlasting covenant made by God to Abraham must continue, or else it would not be an everlasting covenant. So there were born unto Isaac two sons, Esau and Jacob. Remember, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob when Isaac was dying. Jacob claimed the birthright, pretending that he was Esau, unknown to his father, whose eyesight was dimmed because the father was unable to distinguish between the two sons. Esau hated Jacob for doing this, and in his flight before the face of Esau, God stopped Jacob, and in a dream, as Jacob lay sleeping, God made the very same agreement with Jacob, which he had originally made with Abraham and then with Isaac. And he, Jacob, dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, talking to Jacob, and then thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee, Jacob, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, the promised land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Genesis 28, 12 through 15. Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Jacob rose up early in the morning, and the Bible says he took the stone that he had been using for his pillow that night, set it up as a marker, and poured oil upon the top of it, dedicating it as a holy place, and called it Bethel. And years later, when Jacob was returning to his land after being absent, he was overtaken by an angel with which he wrestled all night, during which time Jacob demanded the angel bless him and give him great power with God. It was meant. We read about that particular situation in the following scripture. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, talking to the angel, except thou bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Genesis 32, verses 26 to 28. So Jacob's name was changed to Israel. In other words, he was no longer to be called Jacob, but he was to be called Israel from that day on. Unto him were born 12 sons, also became the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. When Israel, whose name had been changed from Jacob, lay dying, he called his 12 sons around his bedside, and he gave unto them his last blessing, which was in the form of a prophecy. He told each of his sons that would befall him and his brothers in the latter days of their lives. To Judah, his fourth son, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him Shiloh, Jesus Christ, shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Thus we have a miraculous and chosen people brought into being, which according to the physical laws of nature, because Abraham was 100 years old and his wife Sarah was 90 years old, should never have been in existence. That is there should not be a remnant of the Jewish people on the earth today, because God in his great mercy, wisdom, and divine understanding originally gave to Abraham a divine promise that the land of Canaan would remain an everlasting possession for the Jews down through the centuries. In the course of time, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin woman, Bethlehem. Before he was born, there were written in the pages of the Old Testament 196 prophecies telling the people of that day how, when, and to whom the Savior would come. Because of sin in the lives of the Israelites, when the babe came, born in Bethlehem of a virgin woman, the people were not looking for the first coming of the Savior. Jesus Christ came to be their king, but when the Jews later turned their backs upon Christ, he went to a Gentile city by the name of Caesarea Philippi and did something that was nowhere recorded in Scripture before that moment. He, Christ, saith unto them, the 12 disciples, "By whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, the secret about Christ starting his church, but my Father which is in heaven. And say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," speaking about himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16:15-18. So Jesus Christ established his church. God said that is his body, which was to take the place of the Jew temporarily. Allow me to show you this scripture. And it came, some of the branches be broken off, and thou, the church, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and was said partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Burst not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Romans 11:17-18. Christ established the church, turned his back upon the Jews of his day, and visited upon them a partial spiritual blindness. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The spirit of stumble, eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear unto this day. Romans 11:7-8. So for almost 2,000 years, God Almighty has not been dealing with the tribes of Israel, but the Holy Spirit has been dealing with the individual Jews. I hasten to say, however, that God has not cast away the Jew entirely, because Paul the Apostle makes this very plain where he says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid." Romans 11:1. Down through the ages, in spite of the fact that the Israelites sinned continually against God under Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 sons, who became the fathers of the 12 tribes. Yet, nevertheless, in spite of all the sins of the Jews, God has already kept a remnant for himself. You will remember in Elijah's day, God told the prophet that he had reserved unto himself 7,000 Jews, or Israelites, who had not bowed the knee to Baal, pagan god. You can read that in 1 Kings 19:18 and Isaiah 1:9. Jesus Christ, after being rejected by Israel, established the church, going to Calvary, laying down his life a ransom for many, being resurrected after spending 3 nights and 3 days in the tomb, and went back to heaven, and God scattered the Jews among the nations, as he told them in prophecy 800 years before it actually took place. "My God will cast them away," referring to the Jews, "because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations." Hosea 9:17. Yet God, in his great mercy, even though the Jews were scattered among the nations for about 2,500 years, approximately 603 B.C. until 1917 A.D., has already preserved a remnant of them, because God originally gave the promised land to Abraham for an everlasting possession. In order to have a possession, which is an everlasting one, then God must keep an everlasting possessor to claim the everlasting possession. There's always been upon the earth at all times a remnant of the Jewish people who had been the legal possessors of the promised land, the land of Palestine, our present state of Israel. In Isaiah's day, there were 7,000. The Apostle Paul says of the Jews in his day, "Even so then, at this present time, the first century, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace." Romans 11:5. Hosea said that God would scatter the Jews throughout the nations of the earth as wanderers for 2,500 years from approximately 605 B.C. until 1917 A.D. They wandered among the nations of the earth at all times, there was a legal remnant to them, the everlasting possession given to their great forefather Abraham. So, as the Jews were wandering among the nations for 2,500 years, stumbling along in spiritual blindness, suddenly during World War I, General Allenby captured Jerusalem from the Turks. He did so by sending up three squadrons of airplanes on December 8, 1917, and this caused the Turks to surrender. When they did, two marvelous Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, which were written 2,500 years in advance. Allow me to read them for you. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. For this day will I bless you. Haggai 2:18-19. This first prophecy fulfilled here in the book of Haggai was that the Jewish calendars for 1917 showed the 24th day of the 9th month. But on our calendar for 1917, the day was December 9th. In other words, the Jews were using the lunar calendar, and in the year 1917, it showed the 24th day of the 9th month. While in the Western world, we were using the Julian calendar, showed December 9th, meaning to say the Jews started going back to Jerusalem on that day. December 9th, fulfilling a Bible prophecy that was written in the holy pages of God's Word 2,500 years in advance. Let's look at the second prophecy, which was fulfilled on that same day. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Descending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Isaiah 31:5. On December 8th, General Allenby sent up three squadrons of airplanes, which circled over the city of Jerusalem, and the Turks, hoping to keep portions of the ancient city intact, hoisted the white flag of surrender. The next day, on December 9th, General Allenby marched into Jerusalem and took over the city, fulfilling Isaiah 31:5. Not a single shot was fired. Three squadrons of airplanes flew over the city as birds flying. It's amazing when we see the tremendous hand of God at work during thousands of years of time in order to keep a remnant of those people who, down through the centuries of time, have remained the legal possessors of the original everlasting possession. 1 month after General Allenby marched into Jerusalem on December 9, 1917, took over the beloved city from the Turks, the Balfour Declaration was signed in England, which read as follows. His Majesty's King of England government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a natural home or national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of that project. Shortly thereafter, World War I took a sudden turn and it ended with the Jews being the only people to gain anything out of that war. What does the Bible say about that? Let me read it for you from Holy Scripture. And I will bring you, the Jews, out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Ezekiel 20:34 in the King James Version. Something worthwhile, which actually happened during World War I, was the granting of the land of Palestine to the Jews for a national homeland. The land was prepared for the people. Look at the Jews. For 2,500 years, they were without a country, no law, no army, no flag, scattered among the nations, hounded, persecuted, despised, reviled. But where are they today? Exactly where God said they would be. God said they would start going back to their land. December 9th, 1917, they did. Where are the great countries which persecuted the Jews? Where's the great Babylonian Empire? You can't find it. Where's the Phoenician Empire? It's gone. Where's the Alexandrian Empire? There's no trace of it. Where's the great Egyptian Empire, which so unmercifully persecuted the Jews? They're trying for a comeback. Where's the great Grecian Empire? Small country. Where are the Philistines, the Jebusites, and the Hittites? Can't find a trace of them. Where's the Jew? He's right back in Palestine where God said he would be, possessing the original possession that God gave to Abraham centuries ago. The Arabs are trying to take his land away from him. God is on the side of Israel because of the promise to Abraham. And the next lesson will be the miracle of the ages.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the Jew. Amen. But now we're going to pause to hear about the great programming found only here, the Success Radio Network, and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Success Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation.
And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on 6 on his radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Glory, hallelujah, we're back, and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. Press the number and join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What one thing about David and his friends has taught you anything? What one thing about David and his friends has it taught you anything? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right. And Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you, Brother Six, and me.
All right. Well, considering we got Brother Six, we'll let him have a gander first at the question of the day and see what he has to say. Okay, Brother Six. You have to unmute yourself, Six.
You have to unmute me. Thing I learned from David is to choose your friends wisely.
All right. And did you have any questions on the material we presented you?
No questions. So David did a lot. He did a lot. So no questions. No questions. Great material, though.
All right. And how about you, Ruthie? Question of the day. What did you learn from David and his friends that you may have learned for yourself?
Well, I'm going to probably get a little ahead of what you're talking about, because when he was a man, actually he was a man after God's own heart, okay? And he sinned against, by murdering that Uriah and having that crazy affair with Bathsheba, but God judged him. And he did come out of it eventually. And so I did learn the fact that sometimes you will sin and the Lord will forgive you, and then you could go on and be wonderful. I mean, he actually wrote the Psalms, and those are beautiful. So, you know, God forgave me, went on.
Well, I had to weigh in with Six. Basically, because of like Jonathan, choose your friends wisely is what David did. He chose his friends wisely. So, I mean, when it came to his friends, he chose them wisely. He didn't do so good when it came to Uriah, et cetera, like you were talking about, Ruth. But we weren't talking about wives. We were talking about friends. And so, yes, he did choose his friends wisely. All right. So with that, we're going to let Six give us a closing prayer, and then we'll close out with our Red Sylvine song. We don't hear you, Six.
I got two of the same number, and I accidentally, I put all both of them on. The one with the little hand up is the one I thought worked. So the other one, I just left them all on.
We got your mic open, Six, so it's just you got to unmute yourself. All right, well, considering we've got a technical difficulty there, Ruby, we'll let you give us the closing prayer, and then we'll head on out of here.
All right, dear Lord, we thank you for the program, and there's so much we need to learn, but, you know, that's what you gave us, basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible, and it's really a blessing to have. I'm going to study my Bible more often, Lord, and I'm sorry I haven't been doing it like I should sometimes, so just got to start on New Year's resolution to study every single day, not put off any of that. We love you, Lord. Amen.
All right. And just want to remind those out there to join us tomorrow night for the open programming. And then, of course, on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m. Monday night at 9 p.m. for Motivational Monday. Tuesday, 8 p.m. for the Word of the King with Evangelist Timothy Gruver, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for the Wednesday night Bible study, and Thursday for the last part of the Jumbo Braille program that we're doing, talking about the Ashtonville Horror, the Ashtonville Bridge disaster of 1876, and then, of course, Friday, we're back again here with the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show, and also want to remind you, you could get the Six Eyes Radio Network, anytime you want to listen to it, whether early in the morning, late at night, whatever, just go on your smartphone there, go to your podcast setting, type in the search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. When it pops up there, you click on it and then click subscribe. Once you've got that, you'll have Six Eyes Radio when you want it, how you want it, anytime you want it. So we'll be glad to have you as one of our subscribers. Amen. But now we're going to close this program with the Red Sylvian song. God bless everybody for Six and all the gang here. We want to say God bless and good night. We'll catch you tomorrow for the open programming, everybody.
Today, I've been counting the many blessings in the family my dad raised. All the love we shared through the years has come back to me in many ways. And today, my mind flashed back to my childhood days. I recall my first day of school and how much it hurt my dad to see me start off in patched-up blue jeans. But Dad, today that's the style. My boy won't go anywhere without his patched-up jeans. They're old and faded, and they look like they've never been cleaned. And I remember Sunday school, and I'd get mad when you'd make me go. But now, I can see why that was so important to you. Because we prayed together, and we stayed together. Now, my dad was a man that knew his own mind. And I remember when he'd call us all together, and he'd say, family, it's loving time. His world was built around Mom and the four kids they raised. And I can still see the smile that always came on Mama's face each time Dad would say the table grace. The house was filled with lots of noise, but when we got too loud, Dad would always say, oh, those devilish boys. There was three of us. The fourth was a girl. Well, you know Dad had a choice. A favorite, that is. But he'd say, I love one just as much as I love the other. Oh, would you look at her? She looks just like her mother. I've heard a lot of other people talk about my dad and talk about the things that he'd done when he was young. Because I might be a little bit prejudiced, but he was the best in the county when it came to a contest in games. Because he could outrun, outbox, outshoot any of the professionals that came to town. Now, my dad was a good man, and his family came first, and he did his best for us. And I know sometimes he worked till it hurt. The Depression wasn't an easy time. A dollar a day was the pay back then. And I remember my dad leaving the house before daybreak and walking 14 miles to get to work without being late. Oh, I guess everyone remembers the good times and the bad. Good times were happy, bad times were sad. And when I'd do something wrong, he'd straighten me out with his hand or a belt out behind that. But now, Mama didn't raise her voice or fuss when we get out of hand. She'd just say, now that's enough. And if we didn't obey, she'd tell Dad what was wrong. And without a question, Dad would lay it on. While we picked cotton, chopped cotton, stacked hay, pulled corn, well, that's the way we made our living back then on the farm. But things are different now, because it's like a new world we're living in. Everything's a mad rush, not enough time for friends. And when I think of my dad, it makes me proud, you see, because he gave so much of himself to make life easier for me. Now, not everyone is lucky as I am. To have a father who wanted the best for me out of life. And now when I hear a church bell chime, it's all almost like my dad saying, family, it's loving time. So why don't you go to your dad right now and tell him you love him? And I'll bet you a dollar against a dog biscuit that it will mean more to him than any gift that money could ever buy. Because, you know, you can't ever repay him for all the things he's done for you. And the best way I know to let him know is just say, Daddy, I love you.
Ken, Ruth.